There are many kinds of museums in cities and towns all around the world. But this season we're taking a closer look at one city, our city. In the spring of 1921, the thriving black community of Greenwood was destroyed in what came to be known as the Tulsa Race Massacre. 100 years later, we're still coming to terms with the trauma of those shameful days. But what role can museums and artists play in healing and reconciliation? From Philbrook Museum of Art, the Greenwood Art Project, and Public Radio Tulsa, I'm your host, Jeff Martin, and this is Museum Confidential 2021. It's a new year and time for a new season of Museum Confidential. But this one's going to be a little bit different. Over the coming weeks and months, we'll be turning our gaze inward and looking closer at ourselves and our community. And we're not doing it alone. We've teamed up with our friends at the Greenwood Art Project. If you don't know anything about it, the project is an initiative of the 1921 Tulsa Race Massacre Centennial Commission, and they've been tasked with adding cultural components to the activities and the programs the commission will be hosting over the centennial year. So to get a broader view of the project, we sat down recently with anthropologist and archivist Marlon Hall, who handles the project's unique use of social media, Cody Ransom, who handles the project's mobile outreach program, and program director Jerrica Wortham. Quick note, Jerrica will also be my co-host on several episodes this season when we're sitting down to chat with artists involved in the project.
My name is Cody Ransom. My position is I'm the cultural navigator or the Gap Van coordinator for the project.
I am Marlon Hall. I am the archivist and anthropologist in residence. My primary task is to treat the social media as if it is an anthropological project, recording the history.
My name is Jerrica Wortham. I am program director for the Greenwood Art Project.
I'm pretty excited and that we are going to be doing kind of this micro season of our Museum Confidential podcast with the Greenwood Art Project as a partner and spending the next few months kind of deep diving into what you're doing and meeting the artists, not all of them, of course, but many of the artists who are going to be taking part in everything that's going on. I know this has been in the works for quite some time, and maybe Jerrica, you could kind of give us a little bit of a 101 as to how the project began and what the roots of it were and how long you've been kind of leading up to where we're going this spring.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you, one, for the opportunity to come and share about the project. We are so very excited about the exhibits and the experiences that are coming forth here in 2021. The Greenwood Art Project is a project that was brought about in partnership with Bloomberg Philanthropies and the City of Tulsa, as well as the Tulsa Race Massacre and Centennial Commission. Our coordinator, Jeff Van Hanken, had a previous working relationship with our lead artist, Rick Lowe, and they decided to partner up and apply for the Public Art Challenge. As a result, Tulsa was awarded the Bloomberg Public Art Challenge Award, and we are able to bring in over 30 art projects here to the Tulsa area, in addition to other forward-facing projects that will come forth throughout the 2021 year.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on, you know, Jerrica. I wonder, how do you wrap your head around all the different tentacles? Because when I look at what you're doing and the scope of it all, what kind of system do you have in place? Obviously, you have a team. We're going to talk to some of the team today, but it's going to take a pretty big effort to pull all this off. You know, how do you start organizing when it was put to you, like you're going to be kind of overseeing all these different projects? How do you begin to parse that?
You take it one step at a time. You look at the various elements that will be included and you just work each of those elements individually. When there are opportunities to cross over, then you make that happen. But ultimately, this project began with a laptop, and we had the opportunity to build the infrastructures as they occur. So as we need them, they are built. And so that has been a part of the beauty, is not necessarily having to learn to navigate a system, as you are literally having the opportunity to build it as we go. And so keeping it all together is project management tools. Shout out to Asana. Shout out to my planner. Shout out to my team for doing their parts to stay on top of their individual elements, because it is also, of course, building and having a team in place with trusted individuals that can do part and make sure that their portion goes off without a hitch.
Yeah. And a big shout out too to staying hydrated. Jerrica has the largest water bottle I've ever seen in my life right now.
Yeah. In all of life.
it's borderline like a barrel. I'm not sure if it's a bottle or more barrel, but
it is a barrel of water.
It is important to stay hydrated. So Marlon, you know, your take on social media is so kind of interesting and different. You know, it would be such a understatement to say you're handling social media. Like you mentioned before, you're looking at this tool, this 21st century tool, in a way that I've not seen really utilized before. So talk about the role of, you know, anthropology and art and working with archives and using social media to tell the story of 1921 and what we're doing in 2021. How are you kind of using that tool?
Like 100 years from now, people probably won't be reading periodicals to determine what was happening culturally in the context of any particular neighborhood, city, or community. People will be looking at the cookie crumb trails made through hashtags from social media. In fact, it's always been the case, Jeff. It's always been the case that imagery or iconography best tells the story of a people's history. And so, you know, if you want to learn more about Egyptian culture and its inception, you look at Egyptian hieroglyphics. Neolithic culture, you look at cave art, you know. And so social media is really a mirror through which we hope to project not just what's happening in the present, but what's happening to the future. So the people will look back on our social media and not just see it as a place that reveals current events, but that reveals the cultural current of our project and how it weaves into the essence of what it means to be American today, right now.
What that makes me think about is this kind of idea of a quilt, which is, you know, when you see an Instagram feed, right? Sometimes you can look at it and it's almost like this kind of mosaic when you see this, all these squares together. And if you look at those as some kind of larger whole, you start to kind of tell a story. The story you're trying to tell is so big because, one, you're telling a story about 2021. You're telling a story about using art to heal, to reconcile, to do all these things that the mission of the project holds dear. At the same time, though, you have to educate, because unfortunately, there's still a huge swath of people who don't know what happened in 1921. I think that's changed so much over the last couple of years due to some popular culture, more interest in journalism around the country beyond the borders of Tulsa. But how do you kind of balance the past story and now?
Man, we see it as an inhale and an exhale. We see our social media, we see our archiving as a breath of life that tells the story of what was before the massacre, what happened during the massacre, but also more importantly, Jeff, the phoenix that's rising from the ashes of the massacre. It's a delicate choreography, if you will, dancing from the past into the present as we empower the future. And I don't know if I do it well. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I don't know if I do it well, but my mission is for it to be the breath of the life of our project. Certainly an opportunity for people to come to the page to inhale history, but then there's a pause for people to see what we're doing in our work. But then to exhale, to imagine the possibility of a bright future for a community that is an impenetrable force. Jeff, I'm telling you right now, the Greenwood community is fireproof, bruh. And our page is designed to talk about the fireproof nature as an inhale and an exhale. the breath of life that comes from this community.
So Cody, you know, we talk about the community and wanting to go out there more, having to take this message beyond that. Tell us a little bit about the van, right? You mentioned the Gap mm-hmm. van. And for those who may not know, Gap, Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, there's the Greenwood Art Project. This kind of acronym applies across the board for people that might not know if they're listening, that Gap, and obviously the Gap Band. There's a lot of mm-hmm. cultural references there. But talk about your project and how you're going to take what you're doing in a physical way out into the community.
Well, so here on Greenwood, I'm literally here every single day and have been for quite a while. So I do a lot of the tours out here. So when tourists come into town, I kind of walk them around and tell them about the history of Greenwood, but also its current state as well. I try to link them with the future of Greenwood, the people that do own businesses here. I also do small business consulting inside of one of the lounges here. And so trying to cultivate those businesses and kind of keep that spirit alive here. And so everything that I was already doing on Greenwood at Ground Zero, whenever the van came around, it's a way for me to go into communities that necessarily can't make it here. And so I bring this Greenwood experience to those people. And then also after they get the story of Greenwood and they learn the history of it, I'll have the tools for them to be able to create a poster or some artwork based on what they learned, how they feel, what they want to see. So it could be, you doing a poster about the past of Greenwood or doing what you want Greenwood to look like 100 years from now. So it's literally just giving them the information and also coming with the tools for them to create whatever it is they want to see. And so a lot of these communities is trying to get here is hard for some people, especially now with COVID. So for me to be able to take what I do on the road and bring that to different people, and then also the imagery of the van, and I say it with Marlon all the time, it's literally just a rolling perspective. So there's a lot of different pictures on that van. And so it's important for us to understand that each face we run into is a different perspective. So I look at Greenwood a certain way, and I don't expect everyone to look at it the same. So I want to be able to give them the history of it, and from their perspective, be able to take their perspective with me when I leave. So that's just another piece that I learned, as well as something that I was able to teach.
Jeff, what I love about what Cody does is Cody mentioned perspectives. And of course, I interview Cody. I've interviewed him a couple of times about his role, and he consistently mentions perspectives. And one of the things that the Gap Van offers the city of Tulsa and the world is an opportunity for people to have a lens through which they explore the history of Greenwood, a heartbeat from which they can feel the nature of Greenwood, but then also fingertips through which they can create as a result of it. Because man, art has a unique way of providing therapy so that we can get our perspectives out in a way that we may not be able to articulate it with our words. We can shape it and frame it with images like the Gap Van provides opportunities for people to do. It's art and therapy that's moving, but that moves people as well.
Jerrica, go ahead. I thought maybe you could have a couple of thoughts about that too. But beyond that, I'm curious, the tone of the project is very, celebratory, and it's very much about trying to find ways forward, from a moment 100 years ago that was, understandably horrific. How do you kind of find a tonal balance between, like we talked about before, you want to talk about what happened, but at the same time, you don't want to constantly just be, kind of mired in the past. You want to talk about what's coming up, what the future has. And there's this kind of balance of like very serious subject matter, but also a lot of the art that and the projects that you're going to be putting out are very much about, I guess joy. There's joy to be had there, and trying to find moments of unity and all these things together, but you need both of those. Is that something that comes from the top down? And as you're working with these artists, they kind of know that tone that you're going for?
Well, the community actually set the tone with us. When we initially began this process, we had a host of community meetings. And at the top of the concerns of the community was to definitely make sure that this story was told, that it was told authentically, that we did not water down the history that we gave, honor to the ancestors, honor to those that lost their life tragically, but that we also celebrated Black Wall Street and we celebrated Greenwood and how it contributed to not only the city of Tulsa, but to the national landscape. We had millions, but we had multiple business owners that later went on to other cities that are now thriving and just full of life. And so when we created the project, the artists that were selected were artists that made sure that they provided a unique perspective that was a most needed puzzle piece, so to speak, to the overall story of Greenwood. So we have people with memorials. We have people that are putting on theater productions to give an idea of everyday life for Greenwood. We have balls that give honor to the fact that we were a thriving community, full of life, full of joy. And we also have experiences that are definitely going to address the trauma and the hurt that transpired here in the Greenwood District. And so throughout the process, it is definitely a balancing act. However, just by the natural flow of the artist sharing individual and unique perspectives of Greenwood and the Black Wall Street District as a whole, that in of itself is balancing it out, because we are more than the worst day. However, that day is definitely a part of where we are today. And it definitely speaks to, as a community, our propensity to move forward.
Yeah. And
hoping to encourage people throughout the exhibits to take a greater look at how do we move forward, as my loved ones tap on my shoulder. But and that was another thing that was beautiful about bringing in the team that we have. When we were thinking of social media and we were thinking of websites, all things came down to art. And so we wanted someone working these areas that was also an artist. And so we wanted the social media to ultimately be an artistic expression as well. And Marlon has done an absolutely remarkable job at doing that. We wanted someone, we were going out with the Gap Van, that was well-versed in the history of Greenwood. We wanted someone that was also an artist in their own right, so that they would be able to connect with the people that will do the outdoor performances, so that they can connect and be of assistance to those in the community that may not feel as confident in their poster creating capabilities. And so we are so excited to have the team members that we have to help to elevate this story.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah.
I'm curious if you could give me a quick rundown on something that you work on that I find fascinating, and give me kind of a 101 on cultural amnesia and what that means. And you know, how that applies to the work that you're doing now. Mm-hmm.
Any given culture, civilization, or people group experiences trauma, a collective trauma. And oftentimes that collective trauma we experience can give us a cultural amnesia, where we forget who we are, what we can contribute, and how those contributions can impact the larger society or humanity. And the trauma of the 1921 massacre in my anthropological study that began about 3 years ago coming to Tulsa, I've noticed that a lot of people have either forgotten consciously or subconsciously don't remember themselves back to the power
of Black Wall Street, right? So the way that people's bodies are held, shoulders forward, their hips as they move in Greenwood sometimes, in North Tulsa, chins closer to the chest. There's this anatomical amnesia that shows up in people's body to where they don't remember that their chins can be held high, the crown of their head over their shoulders, because they come from Black Wall Street, right? But you see the amnesia in the bodies of the people. And so art is a unique way to bring about cultural amnesia therapy, where we allow art to speak to us and speak for us to remember us back to our greatness. So it's not just a remembering of facts and data and ideas and moments in history. It is literally to remember, to reconnect the people of the present back to their rich history so that something else can happen, Jeff. Like, certainly we wanna remember people back to the history of Black Wall Street, like Jerrica so beautifully said, but also memory informs imagination. So a kid imagines a stick to be a horse only because that kid remembers having seen a horse. That same stick becomes a baseball bat only because the kid remembers having seen a baseball bat. So when we reclaim and remember ourselves back to the greatness of the past, we are then equipped to imagine the beauty and the bounty of the future because memory informs imagination. So our project is not just amnesia therapy through art, it's also social imagination. We want to imagine a better society and world in Greenwood and North Tulsa and Tulsa, Oklahoma, that then empowers the entire world somehow in some way through the butterfly effect of remembering to reclaim what was and imagine what could be.
I had the great privilege recently of doing an interview with Ta-Nehisi Coates and Damon Lindelof, who created the Watchmen TV show on HBO. And we were talking about something and about the massacre, of course, and when they had first kind of encountered the story and knew about it. And one thing that Mr. Coates said that was so interesting was, of course, you know, it's important to us here, but those stories, you know, blanket the United States. There's a million stories like that, that, you know, communities around the country have. And maybe Jerrica, this is a question for you, and Cody, I wanna follow up with you about this too, and outreach too, but how do you take our unique story of the Tulsa Race Massacre and the work you're doing through the project and maybe provide a model for other cities and communities that have gone through similar traumas that we have and kind of, you know, give them tools. You have the great benefit of having financial resources, you know, from, for example, Bloomberg and other places. Can you become a model for other places around the country?
Okay, so at least for me, how I look at it is the fact that the story isn't, it's unique in some aspects, but since there are other cities that have similar stories to tell, I could be able to, like I said, once you've seen it done, as Marlon was saying, once you've seen it before, you've seen how it works, and you also see the impact that it can have. So for people of St. Louis to recognize that you Red Summer was in St. Louis, so this is not something that is directly unique to Tulsa. So people in St. Louis can look at that and say, hey, if they can do it, so can I. We have a similar story. And this is something that's all around the US, but also something that you can just tie back to what, again, what Marlon was saying, just everyone has experienced trauma. There's trauma all over the US, not just unique to our community. And so everyone can actually do the same things. And I think that if we can approach this, as you said, in a tasteful way, we can approach it in a tasteful way to where it can be digested in many different forms. We can mix the candy and the medicine together, and that's something that can happen all over the U.S. There's, like I said, in learning about Greenwood, I learned about a lot of the race massacres that took place. And so what I did notice that wasn't unique was the fact that in most of these places, most of these people did rebuild and did try again. And so in all of the American history that I learned, resiliency is the one word that we use for America. And so being able to show that these people went through something even more deadly, even more scary, and even they didn't give up. These were people that for a day and a half felt like America was not for them. And yet they still decided, you know what, let's try it again. Let's not give up. Let's do it again. And so if that's something that we can do here, then I think that's something we can do everywhere.
Jerrica, you know, we've got a few couple minutes left. I want to follow up on that, which is, let's say that all the work gets done, the projects come off without a hitch, you know, everything goes there, and then we go through this centennial. I think one thing that I'm concerned with is, you know, 2021 is important, but how do we keep this going, right? I'm sure that's a conversation you have a lot, which is, this is not just about May, June, 2021. This is something that needs to kind of be omnipresent moving forward. How do you kind of see the role of the project moving beyond 2021?
That is actually a great deal and a great part of the project overall. So the hope and the intention is to do this project in such a way that we are holding ourselves, our city, and our nation accountable to our success. That our victory will become their victory, that our rebuilding would be a win for not only Tulsa, but for the world, and for them to see that we rebuilt. This will be what, round three? third time's a charm, right? And in that, so the goal is basically to do this in such a way that we've built enough momentum to continue. Some of our projects are actually businesses that can grow and develop post 2021. And so it's us having the opportunity to prepare and to help get these infrastructures off the ground. So we'll have the Urban Coders Guild. And so now we have teenagers and middle schoolers learning to code and to build and to build websites and apps for mobile phones. And where can they go with that? It will certainly take them beyond 2021. We have people learning the classic work of pottery and building fire kennels and how to create art in those art and practical tools that you can use, cups, spoons, forks, plates, and how that in and of itself can become some type of enterprise. We have projects that are learning to mix the both, 3D printing, ceramic creation. And so there are multiple enterprises that are coming out of this project as well. And so that is a piece of the puzzle. The history being known and these artists having now a national and international platform, that's a part of this success as well, is now that these artists are introduced, you can't unring that bell. Once the world gets to experience what's in Tulsa, what's been hidden here in Middle America, they have no choice but to honor that and to continue to move forward.
I want to say a big thanks to all of you. And I'm excited because over the next few months, we're going to be talking a lot more. Jerrica is going to be my co-host on the episodes where we're talking with artists from the project. We're also going to be digging into, you know, the second wave of Greenwood, which a lot of people may not know about because of the impact of urban renewal and basically the kind of second wave of near extinction for Greenwood. So that's going to be something we're going to be talking about over the next several months, but I'm thrilled. Thank you, Marlon. Thank you, Cody. Thank you,
Jeff.
And I look forward to the next few months, and we'll be talking a lot more soon. Thank you guys so much.
Well, that's our show for this week. Our program is produced and edited by Jack Dean. Museum Confidential is a co-production of Philbrick Museum of Art, Public Radio Tulsa, and the Greenwood Art Project. To learn more about the museum, the station, and the project, visit philbrook.org, publicradiotulsa.org, or greenwoodartproject.org. Or visit all of them. We suggest all of them. Until next time, look closer.